You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We move to afternoons with John and Gordy. Jim Santel joins John and Gordy to talk about, quote-unquote, federal immunity for ICE agents.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know she was with the Russians too?
It's an appropriate song to play. This is John and Gordy's Sandbox and Playground Edition. We are talking now to our special guest, Jim Santel. And we've got just a ton of legal questions to ask you because of all that's going on.
Jim, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review.
Yeah. Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 o'clock.
Jim, good afternoon.
Yeah.
John, Gordy, good to be with you once again. As you say, early days of 2026, no lack of important news stories, right? Yeah. Affecting us all. Here we go.
I thought we were going to have like a good year where we don't really get into any of this stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen. Why don't we talk about this new thing about federal immunity for ICE agents? Is there such a thing as immunity for an employee of the federal government?
So there is a concept called qualified immunity that we've talked about in the past. And you may recall that, listeners may recall this as well. This is a situation where if it's clear that the law has been clearly established and it's known, whether it's executing a search warrant, executing a stop and on the street, a Terry stop for cars, those kinds of things. If the law is clear, and it is also clear as a factual matter at the start of some litigation that the officer abided by that law and understood it to be the case, then there's, again, the courts can dismiss the case based upon qualified immunity. It is a matter that has been very controversial for many, many years. But it's not to say that you can simply then indicate that, you know, anything that a federal agent does, have immunity for it. It's a very, very precise legal process, have to be findings by judges, has to be, again, clarity in the law, and has to establish, again, that the agent at the time or the officer at the time that she or he acted was complying with that. You know, it's being raised again, obviously, in connection with what happened, this horrific tragedy in Minneapolis yesterday, but it doesn't preclude the bringing of criminal charges, civil litigation for people who have violated the Constitution. Mm. And that's the important point that I think all of your listeners should understand.
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent all of the information, all of the investigative information, to be released to the state government of Minnesota.
And that too, again, much related to this, I will tell you that I've used the word a couple of times today. I'm horrified by that, and I'll repeat that here. Cooperation is what we anticipate when it comes to law enforcement, right? Federal, state, local, county government. We are all better when, in a time of limited resources, which has been all of our lifetimes, we make decisions, yes, indeed, about who takes the lead on a particular investigation, who may charge a case first, who is going to execute a warrant, who's going to pursue a search of a home, those kinds of things. But we all do that based upon cooperation. We sit around a table and we figure out how most effectively and efficiently to use the information that we all know and that we all share. It's not to say, once again, that the feds or the state government may go first or second in terms of prosecution. But the point is that those decisions are made collaboratively. And they're made in the sense that we want to support the community, and by doing it effectively, when you say to a particular branch, an arm of law enforcement, get out, we're not going to give you the information that would otherwise be yours to have, or the other agency has jurisdiction, you are undermining the fundamental notion of proper investigations and even of constitutional relationships between law enforcement. This is just the latest turning everything on its head from this administration.
Well, I know we're all kind of wondering the trajectory of the bullet and the windshield. We're all wondering, you know, what that's all about. Was the guy standing in front? Of course, you know, we've seen the video. He's not standing in front of the car. But anyway, what about the issue of the legal and constitutional standards for this deadly force that was used?
Sure. And this is well known. We often turn the afternoon broadcast into a civics class or law school, don't we, gentlemen?
We always do.
We'll do that once again, right? You've graduated already.
Maybe there are a few
listeners, right, who have not. So let's do that. Criminal Constitution Procedure review again today. And it's basically this. And again, this is very serious, and I do not mean to make light of it at all, but a couple of cases back in the 1980s, 85 and 89, that basically say this: deadly force. And there's no doubt that deadly force was used in Minneapolis. Someone is dead. That's a tragedy, right? Under any analysis. Deadly force, constitutionally permissible. You can do it only when the officer, the agent, has an objectively reasonable belief, probable cause to believe, that there is some imminent, meaning immediate, threat of death or serious bodily injury. Now, that's a lot, I know. So just to pull that apart, if you are the agent, you're the officer there, and you decide to draw your weapon and you decide to fire it, or you're about to fire it, the only circumstance under which you can do that is if objectively, not subjectively, if we look at these situations and we say, you are facing a threat of death yourself. Someone is pointing a gun at you, or some serious bodily injury is about to happen. Then and only then can you use that weapon for lethal, deadly purposes. An imminent, immediate threat of death or serious bodily injury, and under those circumstances, you can do it. It is not. It is. What is it not applicable to? If you do not have that objective sense that you're about to die or someone else is about to die, then you cannot use your weapon. You cannot use it for someone who is fleeing. That, again, is not permitted by the Constitution. And so that's a big issue here, right, with respect Ms. Good, who was presumably trying to get out of that area, can't do it for somebody who's fleeing. And again, the general notion is that whatever you do, it's got to be proportionate to the risk you're facing. If somebody is simply driving an automobile, and frankly, even let's presume she was obstructing the area there, needed to get out, whatever the circumstances were, none of that justifies the shooting. It's always got to be proportionate to the threat that's posed. There's got to be some legitimate objective that is protecting life. And that's the fundamental notion. For what it's worth, to your point about looking at all this,
yes,
way back in May of last year, just about 6 months ago, Supreme Court wrestled with this kind of case and determined you got to look at all the circumstances. You got to figure out things before, during, and after the event. Everything relevant, including the video that shows those agents walking up, shows what happens afterwards. All of that gets examined in determining if there really was here any truly life-threatening circumstance that warranted this agent bringing his weapon up and firing into that car three times.
Yep. Here's the thing, because we see in the video that the officer, or the ICE agent, drew his gun before she even started to drive the car forward. He already had his gun out, and she had backed up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why he took his gun out in the first place. But then of course everything went south at that point. But you know, he had his gun out before. So does that matter at all, Jim?
It matters hugely. Every single event matters a huge amount. If you are going into this situation, and again, let's presume for the purpose of this argument that she is blocking something. That's civil disobedience. Maybe. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we embrace that in America, right? And what that is, those are ordinance violations. Maybe you get arrested, and we do that routinely. We do not fire upon people who are engaging in civil disobedience. again, unless there's a death threat there. And as to the position of this agent, which again, we'll continue to look at, and the accident reconstruction experts will continue to look at all this. Every single thing that he did in advance of this, if he was anticipating shooting in a situation that did not call for it, that there was no threat, even if the car began to move as it did, presumably to get out of that area, that also goes to his intent, his purpose. And if he was waiting to fire his gun in a circumstance that did not pose a threat of death, of imminent injury, then he acted in violation, can be charged criminally, can be charged civilly for violation of constitutional rights of Ms. Good, and again, can be prosecuted civilly by her family.
All right, I've already drawn a conclusion in my head. Keep that to myself, but why don't we...
Yeah, we played something earlier from John Miller.
John Miller, Chief Law Enforcement Analyst for MSNBC. Why don't we check this out here?
We did this in New York in 1994, 95. We changed it in LAPD when I was there in 2004. But it's basically simple, which is if you're confronted by a moving vehicle that could be a threat to you, get out of the way of the vehicle and don't shoot at a car. Now, this is DHS policy. I'm reading to you from DHS policy. DHS law enforcement officers are prohibited from discharging firearms at the operator of a moving vehicle or other conveyance unless the use of deadly force of the... Basically, it says unless it...
This appears to be black and white.
It does. And it also says a law enforcement officer must take into consideration the hazards that may be posed to law enforcement and innocent bystanders by an out-of-control vehicle, which we just saw the result of that. The point is, unless the person is literally either using the vehicle to ram other people in a terrorist attack, or has a car bomb, or is chasing you with the vehicle in particular, getting out of the way and reducing the tactical exigency where you're not creating a situation where you're forced to fire these shots is what most law enforcement agencies have adopted.
And very clear that that's what was there.
It's missing.
Yep. Okay. So there you go.
Exactly right. Again, the notion is you want to make sure whatever you do, you de-escalate the situation to the extent you can, and you use the most applicable nonviolent means. If it means that you jump out of the way, you do that as opposed to having somebody who's killed. And there's also a policy, again, it's not so much of a constitutional dimension, but most law enforcement agencies also make clear, I used to teach this to federal and county officers, you don't position yourself in front of a moving car. If the car is moving, you don't step in front of it. Why? Because number one, we're concerned about you. You don't want you to be run over as the agent. And you don't want to create, as the commentator was just saying, the very circumstance that prompts you to think that maybe deadly force is necessary. Do not create the situation where you feel obliged to shoot. That's the reason why the movement of the car and where this agent was and what he did in advance of shooting is all important. You're a good question, John.
Well, that's, for some reason, they're going to try to keep all of this stuff secret so we don't have to re-examine it, that they are going to make this decision on their own and they're going to keep it from us. But, in those regulations, I did not hear immunity mentioned once.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Different issue, but yes.
And that's exactly right. And the reality is, to the extent that that's being bandied about, what we just described here, again, this concept, the Supreme Court has said you can't use deadly force, don't have immunity for these circumstances. You can be charged criminally and pursued civilly both.
All right. We'll be back with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel after a quick time out here. It's John and Gordy. Stay with us.
Afternoons with John and Gordy is part of the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can listen to them weekdays from 2 to 5.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Moving on the Civic Media Spotlight, John and Gordy continue their interview with Amicus host Jim Santel, talking about the recent ICE shootings in Minneapolis.
It's the John and Gordy Court of Law here.
We're continuing our conversation here with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review.
And what is the issue that you brought up to us, Aaron? Let's get Jim's input on this.
What's going on?
Cameron Appleton texted in, and he sent an article from Kara News, which is NPR for North Texas, or so they say. But a lot of other news places have reported on this as well. Within the last couple of days, Texas has become the first state in the union to end American Bar Association oversight of their law schools.
Okay.
It sounds dangerous to me.
That doesn't seem right, but okay.
I know we have citizen vigilantes down there now, but are we turning it over to citizens now and forgetting about law completely?
Right. We thought at least that there would be some standards for law schools. And the idea behind this is the American Bar Association, interest of total disclosure. I'm a member of the American Bar Association. And I pay dues, and I'm a part of that, as are many other lawyers. And among the many things that they do is they make visits to various law schools, and they will tell you in the end whether or not a particular law school is teaching and instructing and developing new lawyers at a level that is consistent with basic legal principles. And it is a big deal, for example, if in fact in some law schools have lost their accreditation. Why? Because nobody wants to go to a school that's not accredited, right? When you apply for jobs, you say, gee, I went to the Jim Santel Law School and Delicatessen. What that means is that you know, you're coming from an institution that hasn't given you the sufficient education to practice law well. And so this business of ABA accreditation is big, it's huge, and basically it effectively can shut down law schools. It's so significant. Texas, now as Aaron is reporting directly and through a listener, is basically saying, ABA, get out of our jurisdiction. We're the ones who make this decision. Let us do whatever we want. And your standards simply are not going to apply to us anymore. Just as a footnote, you may recall this issue comes up routinely also when it comes to nominees for federal appointments. And the American Bar Association also does a determination about whether or not Jim Santel is qualified or unqualified to serve as a federal judge or an appellate court judge.
Wow.
And again, there are an awful lot of people who say the American Bar Association, not a government entity, they shouldn't be involved in this at all. Who are they? Who are those elite lawyers telling us who is qualified to be a judge and who isn't? And for that reason, they've rejected, in some instances, the evaluations of the ABA of nominees for your federal court, mostly because some of the nominees would not get the endorsement of the ABA given their past. So this is a continuing issue. Again, it's trying to bring down the basic institutions that ensure the integrity of the justice system.
I always thought they didn't use the ABA's judgment simply just to hide a bad candidate. Right? I mean, isn't that what they typically do?
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you right. If in fact, and the ABA has, there are federal judges who are on the bench today from recent administrations, including this one, that where the ABA has said you're not qualified to serve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Now, again, that is advisory. It doesn't compel the United States Senate, the Judiciary Committee, and the Senate to not confirm, and they go on and confirm them. But again, you've got federal judges then on your bench for life, for whom the American Bar Association has said shouldn't be there. They're not qualified.
Wow.
Okay.
There we are.
All right. Well,
Jim, let's get into Venezuela. And did the Trump administration violate international law by going in and grabbing the president and bringing him back to the USA to stand trial?
According to the Secretary General of the United Nations, who spoke almost immediately after this happened on Saturday, the answer is yes. We can make some reference to a thing called the United Nations Charter. We recall that when the UN was put together. We're still members of the United Nations. And for the purists among your listeners, it's Article 2.4 of the Charter. It forbids threats or use of force against another state's integrity or independence, and basically he says nations are sovereign. And when it comes to invading and taking over, we've seen this before. We see this right now. It's a violation of the UN Charter for Putin to move into right, to his assumed territories there, and to prosecute that war in Ukraine. And so the answer is certainly international law prohibits this kind of thing. And I would also say this, and again, just because it's out there too, you know, you can embrace two things at the same time. You can embrace the notion that Maduro is not only engaged in criminal conduct. That's the reason why he was charged in New York. He's a drug dealer. He's done all these terrible things. He'll be subject to a trial. You can embrace the notion, as the Carter Center, Jimmy Carter's own center, has determined, that he is not properly the president of Venezuela, that he did not win the last election. You can, and I can embrace, if I want to, all of those things. And at the same time, then ask the related but separate question, what do I do about it? And I can also embrace the notion, in that same vein, as much as I may not care for and may even condemn Maduro, that the way in which we went into Venezuela, plucking up their leader, again, even an invalid leader, that notion is in violation of international law. I can believe both of those things without being inconsistent.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that fits in with the Trump administration. Those are their standards, I guess.
Okay. Well, we got to leave it there,
Jim.
We're
going to have to, yeah.
Saturday on Amicus Law Review, can you give us any kind of preview? What are you going to be talking about?
We'll talk more, obviously, about Minnesota and Minneapolis. We're also going to talk about Supreme Court cases coming up for oral argument in the coming week. Lots of things on the docket there, too.
Excellent. Okay. Jim Santel, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure.
We'll talk again next week.
Always honored, gentlemen.
All right. News is straight ahead. Coming up in our next hour, Rocker will be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview. It's all coming up on John and Gordy.
Afternoons with John and Gordy is part of the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can listen to them weekdays from 2 to 5. We move on the Civic Media Spotlight. Tonight Late with Pete Schwabe. Pete interviews the Doctors in Recital, that reveals their upcoming charity event featuring diverse musical talents. The show wraps up with a soulful performance of Feels Like Home by Kim Shepnick and Paul Pope.
Welcome back. Sometimes if I really like the song when we come out of break, I'll kind of take my time talking so I can hear more of the song.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that make sense? Honestly, Carole King I love, but if I hear Carole King one more time, Con.
Ooh.
Well, no, I'm going to play the song, and I'm not going to put your mic on, though.
Dom, stay on standby. That's all I'm saying. Tom's like, what? What did I do? I kid Conrad, because he loves Carole King. Did I introduce
Carole
you
King's
to her?
Great.
Did you know about her?
That song's great. I didn't know about that song.
She's fantastic.
I think I heard that maybe on, like, TikTok or something, and I never expanded into it, actually.
She's got her whole you should celebrate her whole catalog. Mm-hmm. She's great, honestly.
Tomorrow, we're going to have a whole new lineup of music, and it's all Carole King.
We are not doing that, Conrad. Thank you for the suggestion. Hey, this is exciting, folks, because some of my favorites are here. They're missing their third, I almost called
the
their third
chair.
Wheel, but that would not be appropriate.
No, I think I'm the third wheel.
No.
So we're missing
the
second wheel.
I'm the third wheel.
One of you is definitely the third wheel. It is not Chris Piott, who is not here.
She is definitely not.
She's the main wheel.
No one would ever call her a third wheel.
I know. Don't tell her I said that. Mm-mm.
Sometimes I'm called the squeaky wheel.
We've got a group representing the Doctors in Recital. They are here quite often, and I love when they come to the studio. Kim Shefchik is here, and Paul Piott. Chris Piott, one of our other regulars here, is not here tonight, and she is missed. But I appreciate you guys coming in and representing the Doctors in Recital, a really outstanding group with a big show coming up.
Yay!
How are you guys?
Great.
Yeah? Did you have good holidays?
It was really nice. I feel like it was the first holiday with my son home from college. And
so I got
to be joining the ranks of those people that I swore I'd never be, where you're like, oh, whatever, it won't be a big deal when they come home. And then you just fawn over them like, oh, I missed you. I miss you so much. And it's kind of obnoxious.
Was there an adjustment period, Kim? Or was it like he just never left?
No, there was an adjustment. Because it's like you are used to having a little bit of like, okay, everybody. Well, you know how it is. He has two boys.
But I
want to
hear your story, because you're on a little bit of a delay.
Yeah,
so I want to hear what's going for you.
Giggling over there.
Because
I
know where she's going with this.
Well, the advantage of my son is, I think, you know, he's in a smaller space. And so he only had so many piles of clothes he could bring. So all of his dirty laundry could only fit in one giant knapsack.
Satchel.
But that, you know, they come home, they dump, and then they just kind of take a nap for 4 days.
Yeah. And that's okay because they're working hard, right? Like we had this dilemma. I was going to go see Frank Herman's show at the Meyer. Well, we did that last year. My whole family met here. We went. It was a blast. This year, my daughter, who is also in musical theater, got sick. And we kept her, the good parents that we are, we said, stay there for two more days because nobody here wants to get sick.
Yeah. We don't want you.
We love you, but stay there.
Exactly. So she actually kind of offered, but we took her up on it. And it was just like, we're wearing masks in the car. I can't get sick. I don't want the flu, you know, and she had a flu shot and still got sick.
Yes. My son had the flu too during finals.
Really?
It was just hitting the college campus is hard.
So is he still home? How long is his break?
He's home for another week and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So you get that good quality. Yeah. That's very exciting.
Right about the time you're kind of getting sick of them being home again, they leave. It's kind of cool, actually.
Mm-hmm. Would it be really crummy if I tried to talk my daughter into going back early after we told her to stay at school? After everybody
I think that's sending a message.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I mean, if you want to send that message,
no.
You can send that message. But
I love my
Don't
girl.
They start? They start next week already, I think, right?
I think it's the 20th or something like that.
Okay.
And what about you, Paul? You got, you're not empty nesters. You still have kids.
Yeah, they're both in college.
Oh, they both are. Okay. Yep.
So same kind of thing. They come back from college. They, you know, the laundry bomb goes off.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere. Our home isn't super big, so when the two of them come, it's like they take over.
Yeah.
I don't think they're even trying to do that. It just naturally happens. You start fighting over the common spaces really quick.
It's so weird because, like, I get frustrated because, like, it's just my wife and I most of the time, so the dishes are, it's one dish. You know, I'm so pathetic at 1 a.m. wiping my dish and putting it away. And then they get home and there's stuff everywhere.
Yep.
And my first instinct goes, hey, guys, can you clean up? And then I'm like, I don't care. I love that they're home.
Yep.
Yeah.
I really don't care. You know, is that like that for you, Conrad, when you visit your parents?
I mean, not really.
He still gets grounded.
When I go back and visit, they just like to have the company and me be back there. So,
and that's important. That's great.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad things are going well for both of you, two third wheels, and it's fun to have you here. Tell us about what is going on with Doctors in Recital. How are things going? It's right around the corner.
Right. Yeah. So Saturday the 24th at the Widener. This month, just coming up in like, oh my God, 3 weeks. We have our house band rehearsal coming up. That's going to be really exciting. So we do a nice rehearsal with the house band at East. And then there's a dress rehearsal the Friday night before. And that's when a lot of us get to see some of it for the very first time. But I've heard we had a few different acts rehearse at the Piatt's house over the holidays. And it was, I mean, there are some really good groups this year. There's some new folks that are involved. But, you know, your usual variety show, we've got vocals, we've got jazz, we've got, we've just got a wide variety. What did you hear that you thought was interesting coming up, Paul?
Well, some of it was like older music, too. There was some from like the 60s.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep. What were they singing? What were the ladies singing? That was kind of fun.
Postman. Mr.
Postman. Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a fun song.
Yep. It's super fun.
So, yeah, a bunch of different stuff. The gospel piece was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mark Ringwalski is a gospel singer, and he hits notes that I can't hit.
Yeah.
Really?
He's just like up there, and it's amazing.
You know what's funny? You just mentioned that name. I just picked random people off the website.
And I found that name.
I was going to say, like, give me a tidbit about this person, because I think we did that last.
Yeah.
Last year, I picked someone, and I almost picked her again this year, and she was like a Miss America thing, and she's also a surgeon.
Tina Sauerhammer.
She's been playing the cello since she was in utero. Yeah. I mean, just like all these.
I know.
We'll do that.
Dr. Ringwalski he retired from medicine. He's an occupational health physician, and he retired from medicine to become a touring gospel singer. Legit. And he now does that as his job and life's work. And he and his wife have traveled the country, actually the world. But he always comes back for Doctors in Recital and sings a gospel tune with us.
Fun.
There's going to be a choir backing him up and strings. We've got, it's a pretty big number, his song.
I think strings are my favorite. I think just whenever I listen to classical music, I never get tired of strings. I could keep them on forever.
We have a violinist in the show. He is... I believe an anesthesiologist, but he's also a PhD music performance violinist.
Come on.
And yeah, he's just a slacker too. He's playing a violin concerto with Dr. Chun accompanying him on the piano. I'm pretty sure everyone's just going to like pick their jaws off the floor when they're done.
And here we are at Nightlight every night. I'm like, oh, do I talk about the Twinkie anniversary or what? And
of course you like, do. That's also very cool.
Because that's important for the rest of us who don't have 14 degrees.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Kim, I did notice, this is funny. I'm not used to seeing you, you know, you have this beautiful headshot and you just come in here and you're pretty casual. Sometimes you got your tags on.
I know. I took my lanyard off today.
Yeah. And I clicked on yours and it said Kim Shevchik. I'm like, oh yeah, I know her.
Oh yeah, that girl.
So it's nice to see an actual headshot, but you refer to your family members or your children as band members.
Well, of course.
Okay.
The OG.
How do they feel about that?
You know, it's funny. I do have this secret dream that they do know is a secret dream that someday they'll perform with me. But we did actually get,
a
little bit going on last summer where they came up and sang, they both play instruments. Wouldn't it be great if we actually had a band? But it was just kind of a euphemism for their, you know, they're my fans. Great.
And I think anything to encourage music in the house is fantastic
absolutely,
too.
So absolutely.
Is there a theme to this year's show? It's the 24th, as you mentioned, at the Widener. Great place to see a show too, by the way.
It's a beautiful place. There's not like a theme to the music or the variety, but the theme is always music, making a difference by making music. Okay. And our Making a Difference this year is focused on some hunger, helping end hunger in our communities. So we have four different food banks that we're raising money for. And then we always support music education. So we have two music education programs with some local high schools in the area. So it's just a lot of like bringing people together of a hodgepodge of healthcare professionals, putting on a show. And Lucinda Roberts, our executive producer, weaves it together with a story. And then we have an MC. Oh my goodness. I cannot think of his name. Dr. Paulson from St. Norbert College. He does a lot of fun dad jokes. You would appreciate his humor, I'm sure. And he ties it together too with some fun little anecdotes throughout the show, you know, as filler in between. Yeah. But it's pretty efficiently run. The stage crew does a great job of weaving it all together somehow every year.
I'm trying not to be offended, Kim, that you said I would love the dad jokes.
I think you're a dad joke guy.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do.
That's like
Am I wrong?
I think so.
I'm a dad joke guy.
Am I wrong?
Is there something wrong with that?
I like dad. I appreciate dad jokes.
I mean, if you had said knock knock jokes, I might have. Pete.
Oh, dad jokes are above knock knock.
Yeah, I mean,
don't you think?
I prefer a good pun too.
Okay,
like I'm not good at it.
If it's a somewhat cheesy dad joke with some pun going on, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not good at any jokes. I always screw up jokes.
You could never offend me anyway. I'm just, all right.
Now
so,
I feel like that's a challenge.
Let's see what you can do. Next time you come in, we'll see what we. So my guests are Kim Shevchik and Paul Piat. They are here representing the Doctors in a Recital. A great show for a great cause that happens January 24th, 2026. 2026, Conrad.
I know.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And so that is what everyone's resolution should be. Where should people get, where can people get tickets? Are there still tickets?
There are still tickets. Okay. You can get them online through the Widener. They're doing their own internal ticketing this year. So www.widenercenter.com, or you can go to the door. We'll have tickets available
at
the door.
And how much are they?
They kind of range essentially depending on where you're sitting. I believe the starting is around $25 and then and up is kind of how they're phrasing it.
What is the uppest it goes?
I think the uppest is like 40 because that's like front orchestra kind of level seating. I know that, you know, when we looked at trying to keep it affordable for our attendees, we decided to kind of have the range pricing so that we don't outprice, you know, our favorite fans.
Yeah.
Who have been coming for a long time.
Do you recognize people sometimes?
Oh, yes. Okay. There are people who have been coming for the nearly 20 years that we've been doing it. And it's really cute because it's like you have your own little fan club. Oh my God, I love you.
Your song was so great this year.
You guys are, I love that you do this and I love that you come in here to promote it because you are both outstanding musicians, as is Chris when she's here. And you brought kids last time in the summer.
Yeah.
We did.
We had, was it Elliot and Tess came along, right?
They were Stevens Point students.
Yeah, Elliot sang.
Okay.
Sang some Sting, I think.
Yeah.
Field of Gold.
Mm-hmm. That was fantastic.
We try. We keep prodding them and trying to get them to stay involved. But, you know, when they're home on break, sometimes they just turn into lumps in their beds.
They wanted no part of this tonight. That's what I'm hearing.
Talk about like a band, a family band, the Piat family band should be a thing. And so Paul's brother's super talented. Paul's kids, Paul and Chris and their kids. I mean, yeah, I expect a Piat band in my lifetime.
I am pretty much.
I demand.
I am the weakest link of this whole operation. On. Oh, by far.
See, we've seen and we've heard.
Yeah, you're just that guy, Paul. You're very humble.
No, all of our kids are talented. That's pretty awesome.
That's
fantastic.
Well,
they're talented, but Paul, you're very talented. No, you just are. No.
All right, just we have to do a very quick break. When we come back, you're going to sing, right?
Well, yeah.
Sure.
He's got the guitar. I figured, why not?
Yeah. I just kind of hold it. I kind of hold it at home, too. I just always hold the guitar, so I look cool.
We're Doctors of the Recital are here at Speech Wob and Nightlight. We're coming right back.
Nightlight with Peach Waba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To finish off the Civic Media Spotlight, Pete continues his conversation with the Doctors in Recital that reveals their upcoming charity event.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We are starting anew, folks. It is a new year, but that does not stop us from having guests on the show who have been on here in 2024 and 2025. Sometimes you just can't do any better. We tried to find better musicians, honestly, and we could not top you guys. So
honestly,
maybe we shouldn't play and sing tonight. Now the pressure's on.
Paul, just be honest. You've been looking for better radio shows, and you know it, damn it. So,
Icon? Maybe Paul has. I have.
I love you, Pete.
You guys are fantastic. I know. I love having you guys here. And it's just great to have you. So do you, either one of you have New Year's resolutions before we get to a song?
So I felt like this year I was going to try to find like more things that made me feel like a kid again.
Oh, that's interesting. Very specific. I like that, Kim.
Well, it's specific and yet it's not specific.
Yeah.
Like, because for example, a really simple way that I did one of them was my password reset at work has to do with that.
With like, feeling like a kid again?
Yeah, because you know how like you make your password and you're like, this is stupid. Like, yeah. You want to make your password almost, this is stupid.
Right.
This is stupid,
*24/9. But I put something in my password that reminds me of being a kid again.
Is it Mountain Dew?
No, but good guess. But then every time I type it, I kind of chuckle.
Oh,
it's kind of fun.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that one, but that's not really the intent of the whole resolution.
Oh, that's, what about you, Paul? That's a great one.
I didn't really make one this year. Usually my resolution is the same thing every year. Just want to be healthier, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, you make an effort always, but
right.
I think for me, I just want to try to take a little bit more time for myself. It could be health related. It could just be mental health related. Just like unplugging and not worrying about stuff for a little bit is what I'm going to try to do more of. But it's kind of hard to do that in this level.
I thought it was going to be grow a longer beard because I feel like it's longer.
I just trimmed it.
That's trimmed. Wow.
It feels so much fuller.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
If you're watching on the stream, you know. Yeah. Paul's got the rock and the beard. I think all those resolutions are
definitely
great.
Only longer than mine.
Because it just gets us to consider new things, even if we don't follow through. I think
what's yours?
None of your business. You'll appreciate that. Kim, you'll appreciate this.
On.
Giving Kim a hard time tonight because I feel like we're friends and I can do
that. Yes, you can. It's safe.
So mine is giving up high fructose corn syrup.
That's a good one.
Someone in the professional.
That's a good one. Yeah. That stuff is not good for you.
It's terrible. And I had actual... like the new, I try to go for like the Mexican Cokes if I'm going to drink a Coke.
Oh, Mexican Coke's good.
They're very good. The real sugar makes a difference, but I had it like, I probably over the course of the break had 4 or 5 Cokes with high fructose. And I just was disgusted with myself, you know? So, all right, we've got to get to a song. You guys are here to sing and fill our studios with song. And I love both of you when you sing, it's outstanding. So
well,
what are you thinking?
Hopefully the phlegm stays out of the vocal cords. We are going to sing a song that I actually did with the Piats in a previous Doctors in Recital called Feels Like Home.
Okay.
Bonnie Raitt did this.
Oh, nice.
And then,
yeah.
I don't know if she actually wrote it. Linda Ronstadt
did it. Actually, it's been covered by a lot of people. Actually.
Yeah, it has.
Here's what we'll do. Because we have about 3.5 minutes, Con, to break. Yep. Take us to break. We'll be right back, folks, after the news, if they're not done. And if you're done, we'll throw it a break. But either way, take your time. Sing. This is the Doctors in Recital. Kim Shevchik, Paul Piat here singing Bonnie Raitt. I absolutely love it.
Something in your eyes makes me wanna lose myself. Makes me wanna lose myself in your arms. There's something in your voice makes my heart beat fast. I hope this feeling lasts the rest of my life. If you knew how lonely my life has been, and how long I've felt for so long. If you knew how I wanted someone to come along and change my life the way you've done. Feels like home to me. Feels like home to me. Feels like I'm all the way back where I come from. Feels like home to me. Feels like home to me. Feels like I'm on my way back where I belong. Window breaks down a long dark street, and the sirens wail in the night. But I'm all right, 'cause I have you here with me, and I can almost see through the dark there's a light. If you knew how much the moment means to me, and how long I've waited for your touch. If you knew
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.